Hello and welcome to the Ski Racing Podcast with me, Ed Drake. Ben Clark and Marcel Mathis are back in the building for the season roundup. And what a season it's been. We are on episode, and I should have looked that up before we started, 23 of the season. And it's time to wrap it all up. It's been a pretty epic season. Some very, very interesting races. And a bit lows, obviously, the lack of racing, I think, probably is going to have to be the low of the season. But gentlemen, Ben, why don't you kick us off, mate? What has been your highlight for the 2023 season, apart from retaining the Crystal Goblet?
I've got this for later in the podcast when I have a drink later on. Just got my little special trophy for everyone listening. Just rubbing my trophy in the boys' face. I think the emergence of Mayard to that absolute, I guess, you know, second overall in the standings, like pushing Odomat in those North American GS leg, and then culminating in the wins off the back of it. I think that little stretch was probably that highlight of the season, when you got the win in Aspen and then the win in the slalom and then the Saalbach GS. I think that little stretch of races from him really brought him to the absolute front. You know, anyone who's listened to the podcast for long enough knows he's been one of my favourites for a long period of time. And we kept saying, if he could just let it rip. And you know, he's got such control, just let go of a little bit of that control. And we saw it in that kind of little three-week spell. It was absolutely ripping. And I think to get those couple wins under his belt was absolutely brilliant. And some of the skiing when he was pushing Odomat, those couple GSs in Aspen and Palisades Tahoe were, you know, really fun to watch. So, yeah, I think that's probably my highlight was Mayard making me swoon some more with his skiing.
Marcel, how are you, buddy?
Good. My favourite was actually Sarah Sabin in Kitzbühel. I think it was the second downhill, wasn't it? When he was jumping on the fence.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable. That was such skiing, such precision skiing. And I think we were talking about it at Eurosport. He said, I mean, that is probably one of the best runs that has ever been done at Strive. So that was absolutely incredible. I think in general, the Swiss ski team was pretty much outstanding. Doing all my calculations, and I'm going to throw them out there right now.
Okay, hitting with the stats early.
As a team, they've won 36% of all the races and more than 50% of the women's races, at the men's races. So that is pretty incredible. And then, not to forget, Esther Ledesca's win at the final. I think that was probably the highlight, family highlight of the season.
Mate, you're very on brand. You're very on brand.
Exactly.
I do have to agree with you. My race of the season, I think, was actually that second race in Kitzbühel. I just don't think I've seen somebody take on the hill. Not I can remember. I can't remember that Eberharter run. Maybe it was slightly too early for me in terms of my sort of living memory of racing. But just the way he absolutely dismantled the hill, the field. Odomat got to the bottom. He was celebrating like he thought he was going to, you know, he was going to win. And he got his ass handed to him, basically, didn't he, by best part of a second, which doesn't happen often. And I think, and if you're giving Odomat that sort of hiding when Odomat's on the form, is on the form that he's been on all season long, I think that just speaks absolute volumes to how amazing that run was. But I also think back to right at the start of the season, I think that Bryce Bennett result from Grodin, from Val Gardena, I think that just, I don't know, started off the season so well. You know, after on the men's side, the disappointment of having that cancellation in Solden at the beginning.
They had cancellations everywhere. They had like cancellations in Solden, in Savigno, and
let's not talk about Savigno.
As well. See, I told you that, by the way, they have cancelled it now.
Is it officially cancelled? I still said that about how they've got, you know, Zermatt Chavinia are going to try and hold them to their contract. No, but just quick, I'm sure we'll go on to that. But I think that, you know, that started off really nicely. Obviously, Gurgel was great, but then that Val Gardona just set us off real nice for a great battle. I think back to, for me, I think the speed races, the classics, are always going to live well in the memory. I think you look back at Odermatt performing in Wengen was pretty epic. Obviously, the bit of a downer on it with the Kilder injury, obviously, but you know, that was pretty epic. I think that was outstanding, you know, real outstanding stuff. So I have to admit, I have to agree with you on the Sarrazin as the breakout on the men's and just how well he came in. Just quickly, we'll talk about it later on the pod, but last year he was 25th in the downhill rankings with 82 World Cup points, and then he finished second, just 42 points behind Odermatt with missing a couple of races because of injury. So I think it just shows you what a men's season. And on the women's side, AJ Hurt, like that's been an absolute revelation for me, for her as well. I'd say for her, probably. I'd anticipate anyway, because she's just been, you know, the results. She really struggled. I was looking back at her results today, how much she struggled to finish in so many races. You look at her profile on Fizski, it's DNF, 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 DNF. And then all of a sudden this year, just it basically just clicked at the end of the, you know, the start of the season. And Tremblant, when she, or Killington 19th, and then Tremblant, she was 9th, then 25th, but then 11th, 18th, 3rd, 7th, 3rd, 11th, 20th. You know, she had like just an epic season. I can't wait to see how she's going to deal with a bit of expectation, because I think that changes it, doesn't it? What do you guys think in terms of, you know, when you're a breakout star and you're just pulling results out when no one expects it of you, and then to come back and try and back it up, you know, it's like the famed second album. But let's see how she's able to deal with it now. People expect results. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I guess it depends on what you're like as a person. We talked about with a bunch of different races over the years when they've kind of shot to the forefront of everyone's attention and then struggle to find that form or consistency of speed. But then other people just seem to shoot to the front and then stay there. And don't seem to notice that there's any pressure on them.
Yeah.
So it like, I think obviously the less you worry about it or concentrate on it, the better it is for you moving forwards. I think a lot of it is that big kind of mental hurdle. Do you feel like you got lucky, or do you feel like you truly belong? And like you said, based on the results you read out there, it wasn't like a one result that got her there. It was a season of performing pretty much. So it's far more likely that, you know, barring injuries and things, she can come back and continue to perform at that higher level and keep improving. And that's what you want to see from her, is to keep kind of pushing up those end of season standings and start really putting in the consistent performances and start worrying the likes of, you know, Goggia and Gubarami on those speed days more regularly.
Yeah, I think I hope she's not going to do the same thing as Sten Olsen, because I feel like the pressure mainly comes from themselves.
Yeah.
So we saw with him, you know, he has good results, but then he's, I think, expecting just too much. And at the end of the season, I think he's lost the plot a bit. So I feel like for her, at least, you know, she has now the summer season, seems very level headed. So I think just not put too much pressure on yourself, because I don't think anyone in the team, you know, will tell her, oh, you gotta win next year. They just want to make sure that she's progressing, you know, building up her skiing, building that confidence during the summer. And I think if she's doing that, she's pretty good.
I guess the difference from a Stine Olsen perspective, Stine Olsen, I'm sure, was very, very happy to see the end of the season. Whereas I think a little bit sort of goes back to the type of thing that Ben was saying about belonging and look at the run of results and stuff. I guess she would be hoping for more because of the season, because she's been on such a great run. So I think that may be where it changes. But then the break, you just never know how somebody's going to react to the break. Look at Robinson, Alice Robinson, when she did her breakout season, when she won that World Cup back in Solden, and then, you know, struggled to find her feet again. And it's taken her a couple of three seasons, basically, hasn't it, before she's back and sort of surpassing those results from that breakout season, if you like. So, yeah, I think you're right. And I think with the American women's team being surrounded by Shiffrin, yes, Shiffrin has slightly her own program within the team, but she's also, you know, part of that setup. I think that is going to be an absolute invaluable tool for AJ, don't you think, in terms of the way that she's going to be able to deal with expectation? Because if somebody knows how to deal with expectation, it's Michaela Schifrin.
But also Schifrin being that as long, I guess it depends on how much longer she skis for, and we talked about it a reasonable amount with Hersha previously. For as long as that main person is always there, the people behind them, as good as they get, never take up anywhere near as much of the limelight. And we saw it with the likes of Feller and a few of the other Austrians. It took a while for them to adjust to being. There is no one but you, like the country's hopes are pinned on you, kind of thing for those results. Whereas, the beauty of Schifrin still being around is one, you could learn from her, and two, she is always going to take the vast majority of the kind of pressure, heat, and I guess media and fan attention.
Yes, excellent point.
And so it means she then can continue to kind of grow and excel as a ski racer, and you've got the other senior people on that team like Paula Moltzmann around. Granted, Paula's more there in the tech disciplines, but someone you can learn an absolute huge amount from. So she's got a really bright future, and I think that we've mentioned it a couple of times this year. That whole American team looks to have some real potential for the future.
It will be difficult. Oh, interesting, maybe is the better word about how, and I couldn't agree with you more, Ben. I actually hadn't thought about it like that. The Schifrin takes up so many column inches or scroll space, whatever you want to, whatever it is that is nowadays. In terms of the limelight that everybody else, no matter what you do in your season, you're still not Michaela Schifrin. You're still not shooting for 100 World Cup victories. You're still not dating a Norwegian superstar. Do you know what I mean? There's so much other stuff on the women's side, especially the noise around Schifrin and everybody else. And Schifrin's obviously got so good at dealing with it and having that be just the norm for her and dealing with it very well. And the team have adapted to be able to do that really well as well, haven't they? That like even the best results from anybody else is second fiddle to what Schifrin had for breakfast.
Yeah, I mean, it took a long time for the Austrians to get out of Hirsch's shadow, and they probably still aren't, realistically speaking. But it's nice for her, and I guess as long as you're not like a person who needs that limelight, I think it's good for you to develop in that. I think some people occasionally can get a bit like twitchy about it, but if they have like a big ego and they're like, oh, I'm not the top fiddle here. But I feel like with Schifrin, she's so far off everyone else. I don't think people are expecting to be, more present than she is. Talking about, Norwegian superstar, that will bring a bit of spice in there. If someone else would be dating him, I think that
that
would
might
be
be the
a
only way you're going to get to be more important than Michaela Schifrin if you steal her man.
spice
It's
You bring up
spice
the Austrian team drama, Marcel. That sounds like
exactly. If they ever want to do like a TV show, they maybe need to spice it up, a bit like artificially, mixing like Love Island. Every week they have to change, have a chat at the fire pit, change their partners.
Yeah, I think a little little villa ski race or the chalet, the snow chalet.
Think
Take
that's
a
it.
bit around the log fire and in the hot tub.
I'd say we'll be like 10 minutes in, and we're already so far on track talking about reality TV shows. Fizz TV, Nick,
Because
tune in.
that's what Nick Fellows is actually conjuring up. He's got nothing to do with ski racing at all. Nick Fellows is just trying to create
How do we get some air
Love
time
Island for snow.
in the summer months?
How do you call that genre? Like, when you do like Love Island or those kind of things, is that like a reality TV show?
Yeah, it's got to be reality. Yeah, I would have thought so.
Nick's now a reality TV show producer. That's what he does.
Imagine if that is Fizz TV. The launch of Fizz TV is just them in a chalet, locked in a chalet in Argentina.
Can you imagine the trailer for it? Oh my God, I can see it in front of my eyes already. Oh my
You're
God.
just thinking about the t-shirts, mate. That you're just printing
I
money.
just get the merch. Yeah, that's it. Bloody hell, that would be good.
Anyway, Ben, lucky you're here, mate, because you're the one that's going to steer this ship back to ski racing, I think.
Am I? Oh
No,
God.
he's
That's
not.
a...
He's not thinking about it as well.
Yeah, I'm very distracted now. No, I think we were going to say we were talking about more about the, I guess, the season that was. And I guess we touched on the, I guess, the good stuff. But I guess the other bits are what was a bit of a, sorry, let down, but I guess the problems of the season are the things that we, without turning it into a let's all moan about fist session, but the hard parts of that season. And I think without apportioning any blame, I think the injuries really took a toll on this season in terms of taking away some of the excitement for us and some of the challenges for each of those titles. So if Shiffrin had been around for some more races, could she have challenged for the overall? If Sarrazin had stayed fit, what would that battle for the speed globes look like? Obviously, Goggia on the women's side. So we were robbed of quite a
Schwarz.
few. Exactly, Schwartz went so early in the season. It seems like such a long time ago now that Schwartz went down, and obviously Kilder in Wengen. I think the injuries really annoyed me this year. Again, like not blaming fit or conditions or anything else for them. They happen in ski racing, but I think there were some really, really good battles brewing, and we were lucky that the people who stayed fit still made really great efforts of it, apart from obviously in the men's GS Globe, which was just an absolute runaway, and Shiffrin in the women's slalom. But I think there were some really interesting battles that could have happened that I'm kind of looking forward to seeing. And I guess that the one I want to see most next year will be the Shiffrin Vlahova slalom one again. And we've
Yeah.
seen it probably about 8 years now, but I really want to see that one. They both have a full season and see how that one plays out.
I genuinely think that I know that we get frustrated with Fizz at times, but I actually don't think that they've done. I don't think they've done anything wrong here. I don't think they've done anything wrong all season long. The only thing I would say that they've done wrong is probably try and put on Zermatt Cavigna in November. I just think, that is probably the only one. I mean, anybody that's skied on a glacier knows how temperamental glaciers are, especially at that time of the year. That they're a lot less volatile in September, October than they are in November, because you get the winds coming, the wind and the winter coming in. So, I mean, that's the only one that I think actually really annoys me. I think we touched on it before, and I've spoken to people with inside Fizz, outside Fizz, racers, ski fans, and I just think that Fizz are between a rock and a hard place. They try and put on races, and the athletes get annoyed because they're tired. They don't put on races, and they get lambasted that they're not doing their job properly. You look at Armand Marchal complaining not enough races, and you look at half the rest of the World Cup field complaining there's too many races. So I think you spoke about it very well last week, Marcel, talking about how Fizz, and I think they do, and they will just need to get on, do what they do, and almost the athletes just need to get on with it and just take a concrete pill and get on with it. But I get it. It's difficult. You're not going to please everybody. You never will. But I think they do a really good job. I think actually the season, we just got unlucky with weather, I think, this year. I genuinely think the only one that I think you could possibly point any sort of blame at is just the decision to run three back-to-back days plus 2 days of training on the longest downhill, which obviously resulted in Kilder's injury. That's the only one that's questionable, but athletes wanted the races made up that they'd missed. So, what about you, Marcel? Anything changed on your perspective?
It almost sounds that you want to be a Charlie girl for Fizz and Fizz TV.
I'm just trying to host the Love Island of the ski island.
No, I mean, I said it last week. I honestly think they haven't done anything wrong here. And it's like, you have too many cooks and they fuck up the meal. And that's the problem, when you have too many people. Yeah, write it down where I've sworn.
That's
Your
exactly how
mum's gonna
that. That's
tell
exactly
you
how
off.
that phrase goes, Marcel.
Oh, hold on,
Too
let me
many cooks fuck up the meal.
get too many cooks in the kitchen or something, isn't it?
that.
No, I don't care. But my point is, I actually don't think they have done anything wrong. Can't give those athletes too many, things to say, because everyone is always looking for their own opinion and for their own benefit. and they will continue to do so. It's great, you know, to have a look at the calendar, see what makes sense. If they're not going to do Cervinho, makes a lot of sense because it just gets cancelled every year. So it basically just builds up the excitement, and then, you know, nothing happens. So then they're better off just doing a race in Lake Louise. It's nice for everyone. They can get, like, you know, the hang of it again. It's a fairly, I say easy, but it's an easier track where people, you know, might not have the chance to do that many downhills during the season. So that is nice for them. So I think they should be actually doing that. And, you know, I quite like Lake Louise, and it's an interesting race to watch as well.
Yeah, it's a
So
good race.
it's
It
high.
is a good race.
I don't know
I
if
used
they're
to love
gonna
it.
do it, but I think it would certainly make, you know, a lot of sense to do that. And then come back maybe when we get into more global warming, maybe then can do the race in Slovenia again. Who knows?
Well, did you guys see that the little thing that Norwegian Fed put out about?
I just didn't quite get it. It's a good, you know, it's good that people are thinking about it. I gotta say, I'm sure that McKinsey probably got a lot of money for that report that they have put together. So that would
I'll ask Andy Noble, who used to race in the British team. He works for them.
please do, because in my line of work, I know those consultancies getting a lot of money for the man hour they're having in there. But I think it's good for people to have a look at it, you know, think what could be it work racing in clusters can work. I mean, flying to America twice, I don't think that makes any sense. I think that is really a bit of a waste, even though the races were quite good this year, so maybe I shouldn't say that. But in general, I think FIS has done a lot of things right, and I'm sure they continue to do so. They're not
But they
perfect.
put, you know, the flying to America thing, is that not, I mean, almost everybody's on the same plane with other people. So it's not horrendous. Like the thing that annoys me about listening to the athletes talk about being green, and then the first opportunity they'll jump in a helicopter or they'll go in a car. If you want to make it really green,
Yeah, but
Fizz,
also
I'm
it's
sure Fizz, no, wait a minute, I'm sure Fizz would put on a bus service and have a coach drive from race to race, so then it's much less of an energy footprint, a carbon footprint, going from race to race. So if the athletes, you know, rather than getting on a high horse about it, like that actually genuinely annoys me when they're talking about it and they're moaning about doing stuff. You're like, all right, we'll put on a coach and you can all travel by coach from race to race. We'll save about 50 cars, 100 cars by putting on a coach. Job done.
we just got to follow most of the people on their summer holidays. I mean, they're all going like somewhere in the Caribbean and stuff. So, I mean, I don't think that's quite eco-friendly.
Yeah, so I think you can't have your cake and eat it, I'm afraid. And that is a proper phrase for Marcel. You can write that one down.
Yeah, I will do.
Trying to think of the Marcel equivalent of that phrase then, but I won't. It should be something that
Yeah,
involves swearing at it. But no, that was the start. That was more around kind of things this season that didn't necessarily go to plan, rather than whether there were any kind of massive complaints. So that's what I was talking more about. The injuries was more about it was just a downside to the various title races that we could have had, rather
disruptive
than
races,
yeah. And I
competition,
think,
sorry.
obviously, every year there are going to be injuries, and I think we've talked about it probably every year on the podcast that there's always every year starts with if everyone can just stay fit, there are going to be some great contests along the way. And I don't think we're ever going to get there because every year it's going to be someone's turn to get injured. But I think we had some great races for Globes, and we're going to get great races for them again next year. So I don't think we've got anything to worry about in that side, unless everyone gets cancelled from the reality TV show, and then we've got problems.
Well, you know, that's how it's going to be decided. They're going to be voted out every week, like every let's say every 2 weeks, people are going to be voted out, so they are not allowed to ski, so they have to perform on television if they want to go over World Cup. If they don't provide entertainment, I'm going to be on the phone. Nope, get him out.
It's the injury chalet, and they all any injured athlete has to go to the chalet and do their rehab with cameras in every room at every direction.
No, but
Yes.
I think it would be much better if people, I mean, I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not gonna suggest anything here, but if they would couple up with someone and then couple up with other people, if they're not entertaining enough, Mark Odermatt might be not very entertaining on TV. Who knows? Out after 2 weeks. So next World Cup is gone.
Do you reckon you get like more World Cup points for the longer you stay in? So there's a chance, it's like a bonus at the end of the season you get.
Because you're the only one allowed to ski anymore. The other ones, all they have to go to home. They can't ski because they're not entertaining enough.
And you get some joker at the back that's never scored World Cup points, but he's funny as hell and absolutely
Maybe
living
Charlie Raposo would be actually quite good at that.
I don't reckon he would. I'd watch it though, to be fair.
Okay, we're getting sidetracked now.
Unexpected results. Where do you think the biggest unexpected? Where do you think the biggest unexpected? Something you didn't see happening this year.
Oh boy.
Am I putting you on the spot?
I know someone. Nils Allegre in Garmisch.
100 World Cups.
100
You know
World
what? One of the, I think the couple of the Swiss youngsters, that's got to be one, hasn't it? Those two, Von Allmann and what's his chops from last week from the finals?
Cups.
Huh?
Isn't it called Bosse or something? Bosse?
Boisset, yeah. That's got to be out there. I mean, you were never thinking that, those guys were going to get in and be on podiums and at World Cup finals right at the end. That's got to be up there, hasn't it? That Latvian
Oh yeah.
young her name Germaine Jennifer Xenophera. That's a pretty exceptional ski and like backed it up as well. Look forward to seeing more of her in the World Cup and doing it on a weekly more often. Again, one of those where she got in a couple of times and will have felt like, oh, I can't believe that I'm here. And then all of a sudden it's like, this is where I belong. This is where I need to be. And a bit like Musa Faria, like you talked about at the end of the season. I really hope that she's able to somehow keep that run from the end of the season, from that Crans-Montana and then World Cup finals to the split where she didn't finish. But then somehow keep that buzz and keep that go for next season.
Yeah, and I think the other shocks, I guess, come from the older races you're not expecting them for, and obviously sometimes conditions play a part in that. But Stuhets in that final downhill,
Yeah, oh
coming
yeah.
out with the second from being only a couple of top tens all season, and we seem to have a similar chat every year with a few familiar faces at the start of the season of is this person still got the speed? Are they in it for the appearance fees and the sponsorship, or have they really actually got enough for podiums anymore? And then out of nowhere, just absolutely looks like, late 20s Ilka Stuhec, not mid 30s Ilka Stuhec.
Yeah.
And that was really fun to see. And we talked about it before that those races that do stick around and still appear to be having a great time and still put the pressure on and have those podium results. That's what racing's about, and you enjoy those, and you've always got as bit of a, as someone who's older than all of these people, you have a bit of a soft spot for the older races.
That's still going,
Yeah,
still
especially
plugging
likes of
away.
the likes of Dave and people like that, who just still at the absolute top level. You get it drilled into your brain from all sports all over the world that once you're the other side of 30, you're past your kind of physical peak, and as an athlete, you're an old person once you're the other side of 30. And then, you have people like Dave, and we had it before with the French racers seem to have a ton of guys that roll in, whether it was Cleary, or JB Grange or
Yeah,
Lizaroux, that
yeah.
they always like they seem to have a lot of people that just absolutely love the sport. And that always makes me
That
smile
just
when
hooks
those
on it.
people put in result when they and when they put in results as well. It's absolutely brilliant.
I think. What do you got one to add there, Marcel? Look, it looks like you're thinking.
No. I think that sums it up pretty well.
What do you think about? What do you think the odds would have been right at the beginning of the season for someone like Feller? Do you think that counts as an unexpected result to see him walk away with the globe amongst that field, Mr. Consistency?
I mean, he always has to miss
Way.
saw that
You're
coming.
always Mr. Consistent. You will always be Mr. Consistent. No surprise. No surprise there. It was actually so important for him because he deserves it, obviously. But I think it was very important for the Austrians to have at least one globe, and I think if one, deserves it, it's him. He's a great character. He always What he actually said in his interview is, he's made so many mistakes throughout his career on so many different hills. So when he comes to a hill now or to a slope now, he's like, I know where I can actually risk a bit more, where I can't risk. And I think that's very, that's what the routine looks like,
That's
right?
the experience, isn't it?
Experience, you know exactly what you can do and what you can't do. And I think at this stage of his career, he's a dad, two kids, like great skier, great guy. I think well deserved. I think it's a bit of a surprise that he was that consistent, to be honest, and even in giant slalom. But I think you might, he might, him and Strauss, I think, gonna have a good battle next year as well, because I feel like the other ones are very inconsistent.
Well, Haugen, I think, is going to be part of that mix. I mean, that was your 1-2-3 this season, but Haugen, obviously, he's got to. I mean, he was pretty consistent, wasn't he? Really, this year, and then caps it off with a win. I think you've got to put him in that story as well, maybe.
Hope Christoffersen is going to be, a bit on better form than he was this year. He was
We
really
need
surprised.
him, I think. I think the sport needs him.
Yeah, definitely. And he was, he just couldn't find his feet this year, which is a real shame. But I'm sure he will be doing a lot of testing. I don't know if it was the boost this year or whatever it was, but there will be, everything will be chucked at it to make sure that he's going to be on form next year. But then you see it with someone like Haugen, same skis, and he's just, takes it a bit easier. It's
Got to think a
sometimes
little
not
bit.
the worst idea. So let's see what he can do.
And as well as that, you've got Mayard. If he continues the
Yeah,
form, obviously,
true.
if he starts the season slowly again, all of the hype will die down again. But he's shown that he can compete in slalom. You've got Schwartz coming back from the injury. We saw from Jakobsen in the second half of the season, he's got a lot of raw speed there. Whether you think he can podium most of the races of the season, because that's the template fellas put out there this year, is basically podium in every race. Was it, what did he come fourth once or something? I think you said
I think
was
fourth twice. I think that was about it, really. Fourth and fifth once, I
yeah,
think.
basically, yeah, never coming out of the top five for a season puts you in, pretty good place. And there's a lot of guys on the tour that can do it. Is can they do it enough? And it's getting a bit painful is probably the wrong word, but closer to heartbreaking watching Noel race at the moment, because he can do 20 turns and you'd be like, he's back, and then five gates later you'd be like, no, he's out again. And you're just never quite sure. And the fact that he's Olympic champion, and but he's always been a little
Well, to
bit
be fair, at least he's done
inconsistent.
that.
He's always been a little bit inconsistent, but this year seemed extra all over the place by his standards. So it was a bit of a tough one to kind of watch towards the end of the year. And if you looked at people's picks, he probably was being picked quite a lot at the start of the season, and then by the end of the year, I'd be surprised if anyone was pinning their hopes on him anymore.
And just I think that, from a predictions point of view, it was just too wild. You just never knew. You sacrifice your 2 points and go for somebody that might get third, rather than second, sorry, that the rather than go all out for the win for him, because you never know what you're going to get. On the
Well,
women's side, go
I
on.
was going to say, you were going to say surprises. I think the biggest surprise has got to have been Hütter on that last downhill, taking the globe from almost nowhere. You said was Fella a surprise? Would you'd have put him in the mix at the start of the season? I think you probably wouldn't have had. You might have had Hütter in your top five at the start of the season for
Do you know what,
downhill,
mate?
but you wouldn't have had him much far above that, because if you think Gubarami, Goggia, Corinne Suter, Stephanie Vanier or Brignone or someone like that, you probably have all of them presumably above Hütter going into the season. You might think she'd be there for maybe some super G's along the way, but that I guess performance, the fact that half the graphics on the final race of the season didn't have her name on them as potential globe winners until she came down and took the lead, they're like, oh, we should probably put her, she's now winning the standings.
Well, last year she was 16th. She only had 165 points from the season. This year she had best part of 400 points, 397 points, and like you say, won. So I think in terms of your best outsider for that won a globe, it's got to be her. I mean, I don't know what the odds would have been. I bet you they're a couple hundred to one for her to win the globe. And Yeah, absolutely smashed it. And to do that, I mean, nothing to lose. God, Gut Bahrami had already picked up multiple globes, and she talked about it in other interviews how that she was sort of tiring, and if she'd had to do many more races at the end of the season, she probably wouldn't have had the energy to do it. And Hoota went, I'm going to do this. I got this. And just, you know, skied with, she did ski with nothing to lose, and she didn't really have anything to lose. And so, and just got the job done on home snow. You sort of used everything. And it was nice to see the embracing and all that sort of stuff. And again, and look, Marcel, you talked about the Austrian factor with Feller and how they needed it. You'd probably say the women needed that even more.
Yeah, well, they would have needed that in the in slalom and giant slalom, because that is when they are where they're really bad at. Well, actually, they had a good last race. Brunner, I think, got fourth and Scheib fifth. But I feel like the technique, the speed girls from Austria, I think they've done a brilliant job. It's not just Hütter. It's like Veneer, you know, winning a couple of races, basically always being on the podium. Those guys, which is very impressive. And the Austrians were quite rightly so very happy about that. Specifically looking into next year's well, championships, which is in Austria. So I think that was a very positive.
How old is Hooter?
I think she's about maybe 32, 31. So she's in a good, you know, perfect age for a downhill skier.
Yeah,
And
31, she is.
Veneer is, I think,
31.
a bit younger than her. So you know, they have a really, I think they have a really good team, and they know how to win now. Most of them do, which is quite nice. So it's a good position to be, also for their head coach, who is, I think he's his, it was his first year, Assinger. So he's Armin, you know, Armin Assinger, the guy who does like, who wants to be a millionaire in Austria. Well, he was a ski racer as well, I guess, but. His brother, and he was actually my coach. He's a nice guy. He's a good coach as well. Tough man, and I think that's what they need. And I think there will be some restructuring in general for the Austrians, specifically on the women's tech side, because for most part of the season, you know, it's just not good enough.
No, I mean you can't say you can't let those couple of results right at the end of the season cloud what has been, I think it's probably say a pretty rubbish season really in reality, isn't it? So you're one of those where you actually don't want those to paper over the cracks. You NOS, you need a wholesale
Yeah.
reshuffle in the tech side, don't they?
Yeah, you'd say so in GS. I mean, Brunner's a nightmare with how much she's been injured at trying to get back whenever she is fit and firing on all cylinders. She looks quick, but still a little bit erratic, and you're never quite sure what you're going to get from her. Obviously, there were some good signs from Scheib as a younger racer coming through and with that potential. But even Scheib was, I think, 12th in the GS standings. Brunner
Oh, she couldn't
18th,
finish, could she?
Gritsch 19th, Linsberger 21st. I mean, that's not really what you want from Austria, having, you know, only none in the top 10 in GS, and I think only Linsberger and Huber in the top 10 in slalom. You know, when you think of how they've dominated those events over the years and some of the incredible races they've had, you know, that's where they want to get back to. They've got kind of solid races that are good for the odd podium and a bunch of, you know, top tens and top fives. But you know, on the men's side, they've got more in the tech that can threaten the podium regularly. And on the women's speed side, they've got, like you said, you could be Veneer, Buchner or Hütter in any given speed event. They've got a chance of podiuming, whereas you don't have that confidence on the tech side. So, you know, we pick on the Austrians a lot because there is so much expected from them, because they are a nation of alpine skiers, and you know expect more from them. And when you've grown up watching them dominate men's and women's skiing on everything, you just it's surprising for them to go that long without someone kind of dominating in that field.
On the globe side of things, ran through a couple of performers and how they're going to change and move forward for next year. Schifrin obviously won the slalom globe. She won it the last year as well. But she, even with, I mean, to be fair, she only missed one slalom, I think it was. In with that little injury that she picked up in Cortina, but she still won the title by 322 points over Lena Dhu, who only just managed to sneak it across the line in front of Lahova, who obviously went out in Yasna, which was that early Jan, wasn't it? And Vlahova still managed to finish third in the standings. So from her, from the slalom side of things, again, certainly at the end of the season, Lena Dhu, we've been, I think, blessed a little bit, you know, with the Shiffrin-Vlahova battle over the last couple of seasons. We had Leonsberger getting in there and obviously winning the Globe, but getting in there and mixing up to make it a three-horse race. Whereas on this season, we didn't really have that. Lena Dhu last year made it a three-horse race with picking up wins and leading. Sven Larsson tried to get in there, but wasn't as consistent, really. Where do you think the sort of third leg is going to come from, or do you think we're going to see a big shift, or is it still just, or is it just going to be a Vlahova Shiffrin next year? Can you see at this time of the season, can you guys see anything changing for next year?
Yeah, I guess the big question is the fitness of people and who comes back to what kind of form. So you would have hoped after last season that it would have been Cindy Wendy coming in and putting the pressure on. I think she was maybe second or third in last year's standing. So she would have been the person you would have hoped to pick up that kind of the challenge, but her being out injured didn't help matters at all. Gisin started really slow, I think, in slalom.
Oh,
I think
yeah, barely
they were
making it 30.
talking about her being, you know, concentrating more on speed and ended up fourth in the standings. Tells you that's where kind of talents probably still lie the most. But realistically, the fact that when Shiffrin and Vlahova get it right, they beat the rest of the field by a second regularly shows you that realistically the likelihood of Dura or Wendy or someone else challenging them for an entire season, it just still doesn't seem feasible. You're just waiting for them to drop off a bit before someone can overtake them.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Marcel?
Yeah, I think
Do you think
not
in
much.
terms, what about any of the youngsters that we started to see glimpses of? Obviously they improve at very quick rates, you know, the likes of Jermaine and what's her name?
Lucic is the, I guess, is the big
Lucic.
one coming through, isn't she? She's the
I
one that
mean,
everyone kind
because
of all eyes
they're
on.
obviously going to improve very much quicker than more seasoned athletes, shall we say. You think those who got the light could get in there and Colturi?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, it's great to see new people coming in, but I don't think it's just going to be next year that, you know, they're going to,
Longer term.
I think they're going to be on a long term in, you know, a couple of years' time, they will be. But they're just too far away at the moment. I can't see that they make those big jumps just because they have made big jumps, but making, you know, another two or three big jumps within a year, I don't think that will be happening. But they will be getting closer to them, potentially. Who knows? Maybe not. Maybe they're gonna be 5 seconds off again. Who knows?
I mean,
But
we can only hope. But I think
you can only hope.
you've made valid points that it would be an exceptionally big jump, and then to find the consistency alongside that big jump seems like maybe a long shot. But I mean, we live in hope that we
Yeah.
can that
So
we.
Lucic has got to find another 200 points in slalom to get on the podium for the season standings. And you know, that's asking a lot considering how well she skied. She had a few podiums, but she's only 20. So there's I guess so much room for
She's the
improvement.
best chance, right? You think in
Yeah,
terms of.
I think she was the winner of the, I think it was the Longines Rising Star, like the kind of blue bib
The
that
blue bib that's
occasionally,
always there that nobody ever knows what the parameters are. Yeah.
just I think it's someone under 25, I think, is or under
Seems
23
to
or something.
change.
It was Bratton for the last couple of years on the men's side, certainly, and Lucic had it this year. It might have been Stine Olsen and on the men's side with it this year, but she looks like a real talent, Lucic. And you know, she had those where she gets second in RA and second in Soldeo in the slalom and a second in Yasna. And we're saying she's still got to find another 200 points, even with
Yeah.
a whole bunch of seconds in her season. So it's, I
Well,
guess it's
that's the
cunning.
DNF rate though, isn't it? Look at Shiffrin's DNF rate, which has come out of like nine races her whole slalom World Cup career. I think that is almost the stat, I think. Like
Yeah.
something ridiculous.
The fact that it
And
was record breaking when she did ski out, and everyone had to scroll through about a good 5 years of fist results before they found her last slalom DNF in a World Cup, kind of said pretty much everything. Yeah, you're right. She had three DNFs in the middle of the season. I think she had a
can't afford to do that when you're looking for gloves.
Flakkau, Kranjska-Gora, and Lienz slalom skied out of all of those. So that could be where those 200 points come in. If she, podiumed in two and top five in the other, that's her into the top three then in that.
And that changes it.
Yeah, so that's probably where it's going to come from. Again, with the people who are injured, like Sandy Wendy, you never know quite how their rehab's going, what state they're going to be in come the start of the season. But you can only go on their past form and say, based on everything we know about them, they're gonna challenge and just get excited.
The Giant Slalom side, Gup Bahrami picked up the win by 21 points. So that was pretty tight between those two. Last year, Gup Bahrami was 268 points behind Shiffrin. So much tighter affair this year. But I think in the GS, the standout point, I think, is Robinson finishing in fourth in the standings, where she was 12th in the season before. Last season, she only managed to pick up 207 points. This year, she picked up 400 and something. So that I think that's the big thing to take away. Whether Shiffrin would have featured more, she missed quite a few GSs in that period that she was out. When we said that she only missed one slalom, I think she missed a couple of GSs outside of that. But I think she definitely wasn't on that type of giant slalom form. I don't think was she. But Brignone, 21 points away. She was 30 points away from the Super G title. She was 134 points away from the overall title. She is definitely as hungry as ever.
I mean, I love Brignone. I told you, I'm still mad at you for picking her, and I said she's my new Tessa. So you're
So
both going to be banned from picking her all next season. In GS, you can pick her for Super G and downhill field, but no GSs. New rules coming in. Going to write my own rules down on a post-it note and send it to the group. Put it in stone.
just because you've got the recorder's crystal goblet doesn't mean you can start dishing out rules,
That's right. That's a new rule. Whoever wins gets to make a new rule next year. That's drinking game.
I'm making no rules.
But it's weird because you seem to make up all the rules as we go. No, but yeah, Brignone was incredible, and I think you said it there, Red. It was the interesting piece as well was obviously she missed some races, but Shiffrin going from first to fourth. And I don't know how many points she had last year, but 429 this year. So
800
yeah,
points.
almost half the amount of points this year, and I don't think she did half the amount of races. She may have done, but just off the top of my head, I don't think she missed half of the season's worth. But we've been saying at the start of the season something didn't quite look right with her GS skiing, and she's still, but then Killington and Tromblant, she had three thirds in a row, and then one in Lienz. But just something's not quite clicking on the longer boards for her, and whether it's injuries, training time, not getting the setup or what, but it's been there for a couple of seasons. We've mentioned it, whereas she used to be an absolute winning machine in slalom and GS. So it's just slightly, I don't know whether it's concerning or whether it's just is she focusing more on just getting those slaloms absolutely dialed in so she wins all of them. But yeah, that was a bit of a surprise, but I forgot that she'd won last year's
I don't know,
GS
Marcel.
tour.
What do you reckon? Shiffrin's GS. Do you think it's just a little
No,
bit
I
tougher
think
for her over there? Just a bit more people pushing her
win
for
the first
results?
race. No, she didn't win the first race, did she? No, okay.
Who won the Open event?
Hold please.
Oh,
Gup Bahrami won the Open.
yeah.
Shiffrin was sixth. Shiffrin won in Lienz. That was the only victory she had in GS
I
on
think,
the World Cup.
it's tricky to keep your level for such a long period of time at all the disciplines, and sometimes there's a bit of an up and down. And yes, she is struggling more in giant slalom, but it's also, I feel like once you have slalom dialed in and you don't make big mistakes and don't start like a DNF series, I think it might be just easier
for her to, keep the form in the slalom. I'm sure she's going to invest a lot of time during the summer to, get her giant slalom up to speed if she's obviously, pain-free. I don't think she is pain-free as far as I can tell, on the slalom, even on the slalom. And I feel like the GS is, it's a lot worse on your ankles, than the slalom. So I think she would probably just relax a bit for a while, and then, I mean, I'm sure she's going to train, but take it easy, and then get back onto the boards, maybe in the summer somewhere.
Yeah, I guess so. I think it's just hard, isn't it? Like you say, Marcel, just keeping that consistency
Yeah.
across multiple disciplines. It's I think that's the thing that makes it difficult. And but Gurbarami, I think Gurbarami obviously definitely a different level this year in GS.
Yeah,
I really think she was at a
unbelievable.
different level.
But I barred the last year, where she was like just trying to finish it. Other than that, it was incredible. It was certainly her best season ever at the age of 32, I mean, what she's had.
In the Super G, Gurbarami retained her title. She at the top two are actually the same. Gurbarami won this year and last year. Brignone was second last year as well. Brignone was 45 points off the win, chipping away, but 30 points off the win this year. And Hooter was in third in the Super G standing. She was only 60 points back. Mowinckel was fourth, and Courtney third, and Courtney was fourth last year. So I think the Super G hasn't not too much has changed, I think, in terms of new people in or out or just consistency. Again, I think Gurbarami, you talked about, I can't remember which one, I think it was you, Ben, was talking about how no f about Fella no and Marcel knowing where they can push and where they can't push and tracks, and that's something that you'd say in Super G, Gurbarami always looks so confident in the way that she skis. And on all different types of hill, I guess it's that same type of thing where she knows where she can afford to push, she knows where not to push instinctively on the Super G side. So I think the Super G was pretty straightforward from a results perspective. Anyone to add on anything to do with the women's Super G?
Do you reckon Lizette's is going to go big next year, Marcel? She's going to be
Good.
on for both the speed globes.
I
Obviously,
guess so. I mean, I'm not.
lots of snowboarding. What we saying?
I mean, I you know, she's had a tough season and a rough start to it. I mean, she ended up sixth in the Super G Globe, and she's barely skied anything. So I feel like if she has a healthy off season, has a healthy like training period after the season, I feel like she certainly is right there. Probably more so in Super G than in downhill this year. But it's also tough for her with like the bibs. You can have either very good ones if you like where she is right now, or you have like something below 20 or above 20, which is obviously a huge disadvantage on
Yeah,
most
with
of them.
how their points are done.
Exactly. So I'm very positive, and I think she is positive as well. I mean, she won three snowboard races too. So it's
Yeah,
like,
but Marcel, what's the, I don't know if you'll even know. Well, this is a question for your old man. But what's the deal with this with the snowboarding? Because surely, and obviously we come at this from the ski racing podcast, not the snowboarding racing podcast, but skiing is a lot. You look just in prize money shows you how much different the emphasis and focus in on ski racing and the elevation of the sport and stuff versus parallel snowboarding. What's the deal there? Why wouldn't she and why doesn't she just focus in on becoming an alpine ski racer where she's definitely got the ability to be hunting for globes, rather than trying to do two disciplines where I'm trying to say it without offending snowboard racing fans, where a sport
I think
that
it's too late. I
has
think
got
it's
about
too late
10
for that.
people in the finish area.
Why would she? I mean, she doesn't want to. It's her thing. She loves snowboarding. She's always loved snowboarding. I mean, of course it would be better to potentially focus on one thing, but she has to, I mean, there's another Olympic Games coming up pretty soon in 2026, and she has the chance to win a gold medal in the ski racing, or at least a medal in ski racing and a medal in snowboarding, right? So
Yeah, but she
why
did
would,
that. She's already done that
I
once.
know, but I mean, if you can repeat that, that's even better. And
Yeah,
I think she's
I get
versed
it, but I don't
around
get
athletes,
it.
and I think it's just her thing and she wants to do it and just let her crack on with it, I guess. You never change
Okay.
winning team.
A double dual code Olympic champ. It's gonna be hard to think of a name for it. But it's an
Know, I
interesting
just don't
one.
get it.
I mean, again, we're none of us are snowboarders, so we probably won't ever get it. And we love ski racing, so obviously, if I was as good at her at ski racing, and could win Super G's and downhills, I'd just do that all the time. But it'd be like so that's why I asked Marcel, the fact that she was sixth in the Super G standings doing virtually no racing. So, like you said, if she can have a fully fit summer and
And focusing on one
race,
sport.
nah, cross
Well,
training is the way ahead,
she does
mate.
like everything. She like surfs. She does like wakeboarding. She does like skateboarding. I mean, she does everything. That's just her thing.
Marcel,
She
I'm not disagreeing the fact that
competing in
that's her
Paris in
thing,
the summer.
huh?
She's doing anything in the Summer Olympics, not
Get her
just
into do yeah, do something in the summer instead.
do
Go
surfing.
do wakeboarding or whatever else they do sideways Summer Olympic stuff.
I actually think it's I think it's quite fun. I think it's
Oh, I
good for
think it's fun. I think it's very admirable that she's able to win in two different sports, and they are very different sports, apart from the fact that it's on snow and they go around poles. That's the only thing that's really in common. But I don't get it. I mean, I do get it, but I also don't get it. I'd love to speak to you about it. And other than because I can, but like you could be a multiple globe winner and be, I'm sure she's very wealthy, but be four or five times as rich as she is now.
It's not about the money for her. She has, she I'm sure she has enough money. It's not about the money. It's about her winning. It doesn't matter what she does. Snowboarding, rocks up at snowboarding, wins. Rocks up at skiing, not always wins, but
Yeah,
does
that
stuff.
doesn't always win, but she could always win if she rocked up at more ski racing.
I mean, it's like just honestly, I think there's I'm totally with her. If I could do multiple things, I think it's quite interesting,
No,
You
I don't believe. I don't.
are wrong.
We have very
Yeah,
different opinions on here. Like honestly, I think it's but
just.
I don't believe you would, Marcel. If your ski racing career with your couple of podiums, but imagine if you'd had. Like a couple of, let's say a couple of wins and a load of wins in cross country skiing. But you could have picked up a crystal globe in ski racing. Are you telling me that you.
Well, if you're from Norway and you win a cross country World Cup, like I
But
think
she's
that
not
means
from Norway.
no, she's not, but I mean that means just as
Neither are
much.
you.
No, but don't that's, I
I
mean.
think I honestly think like you, I think it's quite narrow-minded actually. I'm calling you out here.
What that I think she should only do one.
Yeah, I think it's very narrow-minded.
Why?
And that's I think she's being greedy. Why you gotta win at two spots? Some people aren't even good enough to win at one, and they're winning at two. It's outrageous. Give everyone else a chance. But no, I think from a ski racing fan's perspective, it would be great to see how
Good she could be.
far she could go if she just did that. And if you're a diehard snowboard fan, this was the snowboard racing podcast, we could say the same thing. You could say, you could be the
You don't
most
know how far.
wingingest snowboard racer of all time if you quit skiing. That I have no idea how where she fits in that kind of
Well, she is
world of
already, so I mean, I
yeah.
don't know, like,
But do
yeah,
you
but
know what I mean? Like she.
she's gonna go down in history as an amazing athlete that won two gold medals in two different sports at the same Olympic Games, and that is amazing. And
Yeah.
will anybody ever do that again? Not
No.
for a long time if they if it happens. Or Ledecká next time around. But that's she's going to be known as that's her thing. Two different
I
gold
would
medals at one again Olympic Games. She's not going to go down in history as one of the world's best ski racers.
if I could go down in history as winning two gold medals in two different disciplines against being one of the best skiers in the world, I'd probably take the gold medals.
If
You
you're
you're
take
one of
an
the best ski
extra, you
racers in
take
the
one extra
world.
gold medal over multiple crystal globes and being known as one of the best ski racers of all time. Or maybe not of all time, but one of the best ski racers of your generation. I don't believe you. I'm
If
sorry. I don't believe you.
me personally, gold medals at the Olympics are always the highest level, but it's just me.
I just don't. I don't. I mean, we. I think we're going to agree to. I just don't. But I don't believe it. But that's she's going to be known as a
But
because she's done it in two different, not
she wins
because she's
the globe next year, and
the
then she's
ski
probably
racer that she could be.
but she would definitely be the best Czech ski racer of all time.
The best what?
Czech ski racer of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's good enough.
We're going around in circles, and I think you're wrong.
Yeah,
Downhill, which got you, which Ledecká could feature in more if she did less snowboarding. Downhill, Hütte, we've already talked about it. Cornelia Hütte, what an exceptional season, what an exceptional end last race of the season. Pip Gupperamen by 28 points, Goggia still third, less than 50 points off, and she did do half the downhills. Vanir 51 points back in fourth. Goggia picked up the title last year. Stuhets was second last year. Suter, remember her, she was third last year. And like I said already, Hütte was 16th in last year's downhill. So it's a right royal mix up. Yes, Goggia, with where she was at the time of the season and to still be where she was, you'd say if buts and maybes, Goggia would have been right up there to do it again, let's say. But what an exceptional season it's been for the Austrian.
Marcel, he said Austria.
You've got one job. No, two jobs. You've got Ledecká and Austria.
No, it's. I think it was exceptional. I mean, unbelievable season from them. I think more than they could have ever expected. Great end to the fin. A great end to the season. Winning the globe. Hats up to them. Fair play. I think they've done an incredible job from where they were a couple of years ago. So.
Well, I guess we kind of said it a little bit, didn't we? The fact that the graphics were saying Hütte could have won that, not Hütte, Vanir was the like one of the potential globe
Yeah.
winners going into the race and going into the final day with the person who takes the globe and another person who could have taken the globe from your country. You're in a good spot in those kind of in those kind of situations. And you got and like we said, you got Pöckner in the background and some younger racers a bit further down. And like we talked about with Schifrin, having the younger racers kind of able to learn without the pressure on of saying we need podiums, quick, get a podium, is really good. And just I mean, with, again, it feels like we'll repeat every year. Just Goggia could just not break herself, although this year was in a GS training, so there's not much you can do for that. Previous years it's been pulling her out of the nets and sending her to hospitals week after week. But I'd like to see a fully fit and firing Goggia against Gupperamy, against Suter if she's still got it, and then the Austrians as well. That would be a great kind of season long
Yeah,
battle.
definitely. That would be an accept. That would be an absolutely bloody amazing season.
But like you, I mean, you said Corinne Suter, remember her? But I guess the issue is before she got injured, she really wasn't looking like the racer she has been the last 4 or 5 years. That used to be if someone could take it to Goggia, it was going to be
Yeah.
Suter that was the Swiss person before Gibrami had her kind of resurgence. And she just didn't look at the races this year. It might maybe because it was a year with nothing on the line. In terms of major champs, that's one thing. Suter is quite good at peaking for the major events, and maybe she's got kind of in her mind maybe one more world champs and Olympics in her, and this season was always going to be a build up season that
It's
obviously
funny
got
though, isn't it, Ben,
curtailed
in
by
terms of,
injury.
yeah, it's funny, isn't it, how it goes with, like you say, four or five, maybe not quite as long as that, but three, certainly three, 4 seasons, she was the Suter or Goggia chat, wasn't it? And now very much was nowhere near that sort of sphere of chat, was she? So hopefully she can get it back. But the confidence, it's funny, isn't it? Confidence and how much of a huge effect that has, because you could see those first couple of races didn't go well, and then all of a sudden it was just nosedive, which is just not as good as, not her ability, just the mental game Obviously, so you know, sometimes your feeling goes or whatever, but just nowhere near just the confidence levels that you need to be at to risk it, especially in downhill. You have to go in with confidence in the speed disciplines. You don't have a, you know, if you're not confident going in and trusting in what you're doing, your ability, that you're kind of, you know, it's over before you started.
Yeah, so I mean, she's been around, I guess, for a while in terms of contending. So she won in 2020, second in 21, second in 22, third in 23. So there was no reason to think she was going to drop off going into
No, exactly.
that season. And I think Super G, she was, I think 2020, she did the double with Super G and downhill Globes. She was always a bit more kind of hit and miss on the. On the Super G side. But yeah, that it was just weird one. I don't know, Marcel, if you've got any thoughts on anything you saw in her skiing, but I think you're right, that kind of confidence looked like it was a real issue for her this year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've talked so many times about confidence. If there is no confidence, there's no quick skiing. And I mean, she's been in decline for a bit now, so you know, she's gotta reset it and make sure she's getting back where she was before. Like, you know, Lara Coote has shown pretty much how to do it.
You know what? And that builds us nicely into the overall challenge where Gupta Rami picked up the win. Obviously, 1,716. She was 135 in front of Brignone, 307 in front of Shiffrin. Whereas Shiffrin last year, when she won, had nearly 1,000 points on Gupta Rami and over 1,000 points on Vlahova. So, but Gupta Rami obviously with yes, she didn't pick up the downhill title, but got very close. And obviously, was red bib coming into finals in three out of the four disciplines. Meant she had a much, much better season. So, be interested to see if she can pick up. And Brignone, like I said, Brignone was second in the Super G standing, second in the GS standings. Obviously, was competing very well, got close, picked up a podium, didn't she, in downhill? Was it in Crans-Montana where she picked up the podium in downhill? So, you know, she is absolutely desperate to repeat a globe and the big globe, isn't she? You could see that she was as hungry as ever. So I think, Marcel, what do you reckon? I think it's shaping up to be a pretty epic battle next year.
Yeah, I think if Shiffrin's on top form, I think she's gonna take it. But is you know something can happen pretty quickly like this year, and then you have like an open race. Well, it was not that much of an open race in the end, but you have then people who you know have maybe one or two really good disciplines in in speed, like good, and obviously they have giant slalom as well. But you get people that are not constantly winning, but constantly being somewhere, being the top five on podium. To you know, pick up the globe, and that's what happened this year.
On the men's side of things, we already talked about it with the slalom with Fella Pick at 189 points in front of Strasser, 265 points in front of Haugen. It was Bratton, Christoffersen, and Zenhuizen last year. Fella was fifth, 200 points behind, basically, picking up the globe. So a right good turnaround. And I think we talked about last week on the pod. You know, he's been able to fly in under the radar of everybody, really, because you know the mantle of who, you know, who's going to take the mantle after Hirscher was Schwarz, wasn't it? And then Schwarz gets injured, and all of a sudden, you know, that's when Fella has to step into line. Like Fella's sort of been almost two rungs away, hasn't he, from the lead pressure? But he absolutely showed that he deals with the pressure very, very well. I think we talked about, didn't we, in those races in America where you're like, oh, you know, he's going to start protecting, and is he just going to start to ski within himself? Because he doesn't actually need to be picking up victories. He just needs to be picking up top fives, you know, top tens to be able to secure the title. And then he went, nah, the best way I know how to race is full attack and full gas, and that's what he's going to do. I just thought that was exceptional. I don't think we need to go into loads of detail on this one because we kind of touched on it before. But Ben,
Yeah,
what do you make of that, mate? Like just the way he was on it.
his style doesn't really lend itself to kind of 80%, does it? His
No, that's
style
very
is one
true.
of those things that's just all pressure at the gate. So if you're in any way hesitant or off it, you'll just be so far below
Scrambling.
the gate, it'll be
Yeah.
gone. But he like brilliant season by him. You know, like you said, almost as consistent as Dave. And Dave, the second most consistent man on the tour behind Manny. But I think you know we might come around to talk about the bits a bit more later. But I thought that the guys having the three guys making the second run was epic this season. And we saw from Billy and Laurie just incredible skiing at times. And I really, really hope that this group stays together and keeps training and doing what they're doing, because they're doing some really impressive stuff. We're not a massive nation. We're definitely not a massive nation for skiers. So the fact that those three can keep doing what they're doing, and Billy and Laurie were so close for finals. I think that we talked about those extra couple races that of slalom that got cancelled could have cost them. But yeah, as you said, it fella absolutely incredible. Some of the other guys we know a lot more about. We're used to them performing week in, week out, like Strasser. Really happy for Strunks at the end of the season, putting in a few results and getting his kind of foot back inside that 30, because it was looking like he was going to go from zero to hero back to zero again in 3 seasons. So yeah, I think slalom is always my most fun discipline to watch, but it was brilliant this year to try and work out just if fella could hold on to his form, not even the performances, but just if he could keep that consistency that you guys were banging on about all year. And he could. Fair play to him. I'm really happy for him, because the past however many years of his career wouldn't have suggested he had that much in him. So it was awesome.
Marcel, what's your take on the GS season? So Odomat, 9 from 10, 432 points in front of Mayar, 498 points in front of Zubcic. He won the title obviously last year, but that time it was in front of Kristoffersen and Krajnec. Mayar was down in sixth. How do you sum up this season, and what do you think, if anything, we're going to see from anybody else coming into trying to work out how to get the better of Marco Odermatt in this discipline?
I think Odermatt's probably going to be the happiest man, not just because he won, but also because he broke his own records in terms of not actually winning the last race. I think that's probably the best thing that could have happened. Look, it's just a clean cut, not winning. No one's going to be talking about that next year. Everything starts fresh. I think that gives him good motivation during the summer, to get better, to keep training. And I think actually there is one person who can beat him, and that's Loic Mayer at this stage. And, if he has a better start to the season, as we, discussed at length, I think he could be a good competition for him. But in general, he's just so much better. Odermatt is just so much better than everyone else, or he was so much better than everyone else at, 99% of the races. So it was an interesting one. And I don't think there's anyone that can come close to him, really.
Verdu, do you think we're going to see if Verdu can stay injury free? Do you think he's got the speed to stay up there? Obviously not the consistency this year. Do you think, is there anybody that you can say that you think has the speed, just needs to work on how to draw that out? Or is it, again, a little bit like we talk about with Schifrin / and or Vlahova in terms of their slalom skiing? Is there anybody that's already got the speed, just has to do a bit of tinkering? Or has everybody got to make these massive jumps to try and get to be as quick as him?
I honestly think that there are lots of people who can get onto the podium consistently. I think Verdu is one of them. But I don't think anyone can beat Odermatt in terms of speed. And I think what people should be looking at is, how does Odermatt win races every time, 20 sec, like, in the last 20 seconds? That's what he always does. And I feel like that's where people need to look at and just be like, what does he do different there? Because there's just another gear that he can put in if he wants to, and if he needs to. And he's shown that so many times. And I feel like that's a thing that's probably quite hard to learn. You can work on your fitness, maybe helps a bit, but it's just that mindset that he has, or that flick that he can, or the switch that he can flip, and it's just another gear, and maybe another gear if he needs to. And I think that's the really hard part to beat.
Ben,
I mean, you I think you said it on the commentary, and we said it on the podcast a bunch. And he seems to have that clock in his head. Or at least an alarm that whenever he's not having the best day and the splits start getting close, the bell rings in his head and says, "You're going to lose this." And he goes, "All right, cool. punch it, and absolutely flies down the next 10, 15 gates. But I think the way we're talking about Odomat now is very similar to the Shiffrin side of realistically, can someone beat her for the slalom globe? Realistically, no. If she's skiing her best, no one else can touch her. Like Vlahova can get close and might take a race from her, but to do that over, depending on the season, 10 or 13 races, it's not going to happen. Like you have someone that will have a race where they say, I can beat you today, but on a different day, that one day that might be Maillard, one day it might be Haugen, one day it might be, if he puts everything together, Ali Prandini or someone who's got raw speed in them but can't put it together week to week. But I can't see anyone taking the GS Globe off him without him coming back to the pack. And obviously that's where it comes out in the wash when you're watching the races of, is he coming back to the pack, or if they found where he's getting that speed from. And I think it's just one of those things when you watch him race at the moment, it is just, your jaws on the table every time, just going, how is he doing this? And I thought those few races have been in that stretch where we were coming on here and saying, is he knackered? Has he got anything left in the tank? Those few races, I think the ones in America were just, there were mistakes all over the place that you don't normally see from him, and he was hanging on for dear life and then accelerating out the back of those mistakes. And that shows just how much he wants it, because he could have just, skied out of half those races and still won the globe with ease. But he's every single race he wants to win. And yeah, I'll come, come back next year, see if you can go 10 from 10 next year. So come back and go, right, I missed out by one race last year, let's go
Yeah,
for all
exactly.
10 this
Well,
year.
you could arguably say that he could have done that in Super G as well. Odermatt picked up the Super G Globe 4.95. Kriechmaier 86 points behind, pushed him a little bit, but not really. Haase was in third, 2.24 behind. Odermatt won the title the year before. Kilder was 2.28 behind. Kriechmaier was 4.05 behind in third, and Haase was way down in 15th, 599 points behind Odermatt. So, Odermatt's domination, you'd say last year his domination in Super G was almost matched his GS domination, I think. And this year it's sort of been similar, especially once Kilder was done, which was relatively early on in the Super G. I mean, we only had, what do we have, eight races in Super G, or was it seven races in Super G?
It was seven. It was a weird one this year, Super G. It didn't really feel like it was its own
Didn't really
tour. It
fit anywhere, did it?
just felt like it was lots of downhill warm-ups, and snow testing is what it felt like this year's Super G's.
Well, switching it round because the snow was coming in or whatever.
Yeah, it didn't feel like its own tour. And I guess, and the person who's probably suffered the most from that was Kriechmaier, because that's normally his go to. That's normally where you expect him to be the most
At his best.
consistent, if they're throwing around races and changing conditions and those kind of things. I think Haase coming in third is really kind of probably a bit of a surprise as well. Maybe it's because it was a small number of races and we had the injuries, but I don't. Yeah, Super G was a bit of a weird one. I didn't quite know what to do with it this year. I feel like I needed definitely a couple more races to make it feel like a tour.
Yeah, but I think you're right, Ben. Actually, I hadn't really thought about it in that way. We definitely, it's definitely used when the weather's not great. You go, all right, we'll chuck the Super G down. And considering two of the seven that ran were those two in Garmisch, which one was a flipping water ski race and the other one was slightly better. So, take away those two, which spring to mind as ones where you go, nah, they weren't great Super Gs, were they really? And all of a sudden, you've got five Super Gs.
Yes, it's not ideal. But obviously we say you can't control the weather. But
No.
when it becomes a, well, if we can run that A race on a day when we know it's going to be not good enough weather to run a downhill, we'll swap, like you said, we'll swap them round. And sometimes this, we'll do 2 days of downhill training so everyone's knackered, then we'll run the Super G race for them to rest up, and then they could do the downhill on the Sunday. Like the I think that's one of the things.
So
And
almost a
again,
sacrificial lamb, isn't it?
yeah, and I haven't really thought about it until we started discussing the tour, because it was a bit of a anomaly anyway, that maybe that's one of the things FIS needs to think about what to do for that section of the tour. It didn't feel the same for the women's. On the women's side, it feels like that tour had its own battles and it felt like its own event, whereas
Well,
for
it did
some
last
reason.
year as well, didn't it? Because it came, there were like four of them, five of them within like less than 50 points. I mean, the women's side, they got 9 out of 11 Super Gs. The men got 7 out of, I mean, only eight. There was only eight planned on the calendar.
Yeah, that's a strange one. Let's hope that not necessarily have more races, but let's hope it feels a bit more like a tour next year. And what I'd probably say is, let's see. I mean, we'll probably come on to it in a second. But the kind of Sarazan Odomat, let's go 2024 to slash 25 season. Let's have the see what those boys can put out of the bag next year.
Yeah, well, Odermatt took the title over Sarazan by 42 points on the downhill side. Paris, who sort of floated along underneath the surface, ended up third, 210, Kriechmeier fourth, 254, versus last year. Kilder took it by 146 points over Kriechmeier. Odermatt was only third, but he was 298 points behind Kilder. And Sarazan, like I already said, was 678 points behind Kilder last year, only managing to pick up 82 World Cup points. So, you know, yes, Kilder's season was over before it started, really. But it sort of didn't look at the danger of annoying not any Norwegian listeners and quite a lot of the Americans that. Are in the Kilder camp. I don't think he quite looked like his that he was going to play a part, but I don't think it was a starring role in the downhill season, even if he'd managed to stay healthy.
No, I
Who
think
who's going to risk the wrath?
I mean, to be honest, he didn't. You know, he has had some solid results, but not where he wanted to be. And he got cut short really quickly. But I don't think he I against Odermatt and Sarasa this year, I don't think he would have stand a single chance, quite honestly. And I love Kilder skiing, but it was not his season, and I don't know. This it's a big injury that he has, and I hope he can recover from it, but it's got to be tough. It's going to be very tough.
Yeah, that's the thing. At the moment, we don't know. Marcel, you're right. Is if he's coming back? I mean, that sort of somewhere he's already said until the stuff with the federation's
Yeah.
sorted out, he's not going to race again, which is like a horrible thought just in terms of the relationships we talked about with Bratton and everyone else and. Kristoffersen's had his rows with the Federation, those kind of things. So whatever's going on with the Norwegian Fed, they really need to sort that out with
Yeah,
their races.
they do, but they also don't. Because
No, not no,
look at
not
the
that they have,
conveyor, look at the
not that they
conveyor
have.
belt of
Yeah,
huge
not that
talent
they
they've had
have
over
to.
the.
Yeah, I'd say not that they have to change it, but just fix whatever it is that the
Gripes.
disagreement is. It
Yeah.
doesn't mean just bow to all of their, demands, but just have a functioning working relationship so you don't seem to be antagonizing all of your best racers. I think it's probably where I want them to get to. Like, I think when we discussed it to do with Bratton's retirement earlier in the year, that was the fakest retirement of all time. Which I think we said at the time, that he'll be back next year racing for Brazil. The fact that they've had those kind of problems with that many of their high profile racers means there is an issue. So they need to get to some kind of functional relationship so they can keep developing this talent, but also not then alienate and make that talent hate the country they race for, because
It's
that's really not where you want to be. So
really hard, isn't it?
they need to find a middle ground, because they're clearly at the youth level doing something right as a federation to develop this talent that everyone loves, and
Yeah,
then
but
they do something
because
very, very
surely,
wrong when you turn into a superstar.
yeah, because norm, you know, that it's well documented that it is as expensive as it is in terms of taking percentages of winnings and all that sort of stuff and sponsorships that. The athletes that it happens to don't think that it's very fair, but surely all of those athletes have benefited from it in their young career, haven't they? You know, the likes of Kristoffersen would have benefited massively from Svindal and Jansrud's money that the Federation took off them. And likewise, Bratton and Atli McGrath and Steen Olsen have gained massively off the success and monetary success that Kilda could have and has raised. So, like, you know, they're all, I'm sure, and maybe it goes way deeper than this in the superficial stuff that we hear about and get to read about in the press. But surely those guys reap the benefits of that system. And then all of a sudden, when they get to be the main dog, they don't like it happening to them, but they benefited it from the way up. It's like a high tax band, isn't it? You know, if you don't have the money, you're quite happy when the rich people getting, you know, they're getting taxed. And then when you get a load of money, you don't want to get taxed. It's sort of like, I don't know. It's one of those where you're like, surely all of those athletes that have got to the top have benefited from the generations previously having so much of their sponsorship taken away. And is that not, I mean, the Norwegian success is one that everybody bar Switzerland are trying to emulate, right?
Yeah, I wish I knew more about how it worked. And I'll be honest with you, it's one of those things that I'd like to have a stronger opinion. I just don't like that it seems to keep happening. You know, Christophson, it was the head sponsor, and you know, it couldn't have Red Bull, and then could have Red Bull, and then only, you know, certain people are allowed it and not others, and those kind of things. This, I don't like that. I mean, you know, aren't many people that think, say Norway's a, you know, place that's you know full of dictators and you know horrible people telling you how to live your life. So you know that's not the way the rest of the world sees them. So maybe the Federation's just got something in their mind that works, and they want to keep it the way that it works because it keeps generating the types of skiers that we see on a
Yeah.
yearly basis that are amazed by. And maybe they're like, well, this is working. Why are you guys getting so mad? And if it is to do with the amount of money that they're getting, then maybe that's a problem for those races. But like you said, if that is the issue, it definitely makes sense. You know, they're benefiting from, you know, other people's success. Therefore, they are then contributing to the next generation's success. That, as a high level concept, makes perfect sense. But if you're looking at your bank account and wondering why there's not more in it, and you're seeing the Fed taking a massive chunk of it, then maybe that's what it is.
Maybe they should take up snowboarding.
Yeah, that's it. My son, just, you
Maybe
know,
it's
dual
good.
sports.
If you do dual sports, you don't have to pay the Federation. That's what you have to do.
Marcel, what's your take, buddy, on the downhill tour or either of the speed tours, to be fair?
I think that was super interesting. I liked the downhill tour. There were some really good races. Kitzbühel was definitely a highlight. Wengen was, well, a highlight probably for the second Wengen, probably a highlight for the wrong reasons, but I really enjoyed the downhill. The Super G was been like, nah, as you guys already said. But I'm curious to see what happens next year. Let's see.
On
And
the
how many
over
downhills were there supposed to be this year? I know you said
13,
only.
yeah, 13, and we got 8, so we missed 5.
Yeah. So it's a bit weird that there was supposed to be 13 downhills and 8 Super Gs. Feels a bit imbalanced. I know previously we would have talked about whether it's a tech or speed split, but just as a speed split itself, that doesn't feel quite right. So, although we said that the downhill tour felt like a real tour, and the Super G one didn't, and there was only one race difference, overall we've missed. It feels like we've missed a lot of races if there's, you know, only like, you know,
Well, they missed 10.
15. Yeah.
They missed 10 out of 45 on the men's side, and they missed 6 out of 45 on the women's side this year in terms of races missed, races lost.
Yeah,
So,
it's a big loss this year. And again, we can't do
yeah,
anything
10
about the
races,
weather, but
considering five of them were downhills. 50% of all missed races were downhills. Yeah, and like you say, I think, you know, one of those being at World Cup finals where, you know, Fizz put out a lovely shot of Sarah Zanonos about holding hands doing synchro skiing at the
that was
bottom. But
brilliant. I saw that.
would have rathered watched some racing.
No,
But
if they got the entire field to do synchro, just a massive grid, that would have been amazing.
yeah, get them all in. Get them
Guys,
all
we're
in.
not doing a race, we're doing it with the World Cup demo team for today. Today, one day only, all on downhill skis. That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Downhill skis in powder.
Well, off the back of Odomat's record-breaking season last year, he retained the overall title, 1947. So he was 100 points just under off his own record. And considering, again, we lost so many races, and of them races that he would been picking up major points, I think it's pretty exceptional. And almost certainly he would have surpassed the men's points record. Maillard was in second in the end, 874 points behind. Fellow was 995 points behind. Last year, Kristoffersen was third and Kildall was second. But yeah, I think the probably the big takeaway with the overall is the fact that Odomat definitely would have surpassed the title given less cancellations. I can't remember off the top of my head, it's probably something I should have checked, how many we lost last year, but I bet you it wasn't as many as we lost this year. And so for a sort of percentage, a percentage by race, I bet you this season is it surpasses last season's points per race that Odomat would have secured. Marcel, why don't you kick us off on that one, buddy? Anything to add on your overall? What do you think of that? And again,
I think, I mean,
where's the overall challenge to Odomat coming from?
well, I don't think anywhere. I mean, it's a bit of sure, you know,
Like a woman.
if he stays healthy, you know, if he's just somewhat close to his best, he's going to win the next seven seasons, and then he's going to have nine overall titles, and then he's going to retire.
No, he gets to 10. That was what annoyed me about Hirschel. I wanted him to get double figures, consecutive big gloves.
I don't want to be boring, but I honestly don't think there is anything and anyone that can beat him in the overall. I just don't think they can. And that's absolutely fine. We're still going to have some great racing. And everyone is
But
trying
don't
to pick up
do you
weight.
not think any of the guys that can do all disciplines, do you not think Mayar, obviously he
No.
talked about it very briefly, going to be doing more disciplines, and he picks up big points in slalom as well, doesn't he? Just needs to find more in
Yeah,
speed.
but like the thing
But
is that
also just quickly, also with Schwarz coming back, none of those guys going to pick up enough in the extra discipline.
no. You know, they pick up big points, but big points for them can be anything from 1 to 5. Big points for Audemars is like one. That's it. That's what he picks up. 13 times, actually.
Yeah, it's a
What do you reckon,
t
Ben?
I'd want to say I really hope so, but I think all of the other names you mentioned will all take points off each other rather than Odomat. That's the biggest issue,
Yeah,
is they're
that's a
taking
fair
points
point.
off each other. What you would probably need is Sarrazin to dominate both speed events, and then the tech people come more into it because they've then got, you know, the slaloms to rack up the points, and then Odomat's not picking up 100 points a go in Super G and downhill. So you can dominate the GS tour, but you're going to need someone to take a globe off him in a discipline before anyone can get near him in the overall. And I guess it's a bit like talking about that with Shiffrin when she's fit for a season and
Up for it.
racing 90% of the races that she normally would, not being too choosy. Obviously, she is strategic in what she does. And there's not very often where she hasn't had time out of a season that she hasn't absolutely dominated everyone. So I think those two, it's
You
just
know,
a case of how long do they want to carry on skiing the way they're skiing?
do you not think on the men's speed side, do you guys not think that it's quite open after Sarrazin and Odomat, isn't it? Do you not think that there's, you know, when we talk about who's going to win what, you know, in speed, Odomat and Sarrazin, and then that third place is quite up for grabs in both disciplines, isn't it? So there's quite a lot of space for the likes of Mayer, who's proved it with winning World Cups this year, well, in Super G and getting close in downhill. There's quite a bit of space there because in GS, you've got Odomat and then it's open. And in slalom, it's pretty open. You know,
Yeah,
not open
I
because no one's doing good, just because all of those guys are good, you know, in their own rights, able to pick up titles. So do you not think that the fact that in the speed disciplines, third place is very much up for grabs, that there's an
so
option for a four discipline, more of a four discipline ski or not? Or you just don't.
I'd like there to be, but it would require Maillard, for example, to win a bunch of slaloms and then have his best ever season in those speed events. And even then, he'd be behind Odermatt in every Super G and downhill. So
And
that
GS potentially.
and probably all of the GSs. So that's the problem. The because he wins most of the or podiums most of the downhills and Super G's and wins all of the GSs, it's so hard. There's just it would take someone to win all of the slaloms and a bunch of Super G's probably to be able to overtake him. And as we saw this year, there's not actually that many Super G's to get the
Yeah, so you might come third, but you're only coming third like six times, so
points for.
bothered.
Exactly. Yeah. We need to find someone who's a hybrid slalom slash Super G and downhill specialist that can podium in GS as well.
Marcel, no, you on the same page as Ben with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just pretty unrealistic for anyone to come close.
Any news on how Schwarz is going through with his rehab or?
I think he wants to start back skiing in August, maybe something like that. So it's all on track, I guess.
Talking about the comeback.
The comeback is on.
The
Come back.
comeback.
Come back.
It's got its own TV show.
Yeah, you've got to be careful. You've got to be careful with
Cut. Edit.
All right, that's it. Goodbye for now.
No, it's been a great season, though. And thoroughly enjoyed chatting with you boys every week.
Mate, it's been a goodie. 23 pods down, about 10 for Marcel probably.
See you
I've
in October.
finished on most of them this year.
No, you did a lot of commentary on TV, Marcel. That doesn't count as a podcast.
It's because he keeps using up his word quotas on television. He's like, well, I've got a media quota and that's it.
Like 100 words a week, done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I talked for 3 hours in that downhill. I'm not talking for another 90 minutes on a podcast the day after. I've said all of my words. Just watch the broadcast if you want to know what I think about it.
I have used
Cut
them up.
the stuff that I say to the podcast. That's good enough.
If I do copy and paste from my TV broadcast, thanks. Yeah,
If you want to edit that in, that's all fine by me, mate.
no
Well, gentlemen, thank you very, very much. I guess we'll probably try and touch base at some point in the summer if something good happens. I'm sure when Schifrin and Kilda get engaged, we'll have to do one because everybody will be running and flocking to get some extra
You're in charge of the social media
shifter.
accounts.
Huh?
You're in charge of the social media accounts. You tell us when the people want the content.
Right. I Marcel told me that Schifrin and Kilda were together. I mean, I t absolutely missed me, but passed me by when that happened that summer when that was announced. Yeah, passed me by. But yeah, gentlemen, I appreciate your time. Thanks everybody for listening. Thanks for playing along with the Predictions League. And until next season, bye for now.